Like, I edited it to make it sound like it was a lot better than what you initially sent me.
Yeah, it was just like, ugh, I don't care about Gamescom. Never have, never will.
Yeah.
Fucking Germans. Now, Jamie, say something.
Testicles?
Fucking Germans.
Hey guys, welcome back to another exciting episode of The Prototype. I'm Jamie J.J. Johnston, and I'm joined by the two knuckleheads. Say your names and, you know, all that fun stuff.
I'm not a fucking German. Hi.
What the fuck?
I'm Mike Dodd. How are you?
And I'm here as well. Cameron.
He's also not a fucking German.
We need to record all the stuff that we say before the show. That way we can have a behind-the-scenes segment of why we start with ridiculous things. Like
there's absolutely no context for anything that Mike ever intros with.
That's what you think. I recorded that shit. I'll play with it. Don't worry.
Oh, boy. Anyway, what have you guys been playing?
Well,
I'm just cutting right to it. It's not even like, hey, what have we been doing? It's just, what have you been playing? Let's go.
Mostly I've been playing the Titanfall Tech 2 beta thingamajig.
I have questions about that, and I'm sure anyone that didn't get to play it that is listening is also going to have these questions. I've heard that it sucks compared to Titanfall 1. Is this true?
It got better in the second weekend when they adjusted speeds and everything. Things felt a little bit better. Plus, okay, when they started adding the active timer to the Titan, that definitely helped. I've also been playing Fallout 4 right now, because you'll be hearing this on Tuesday night. I'm working on something for AM640 right now. I'm working on my review of Nuka World for Fallout 4. It's about as big as Far Harbor in terms of how long it should take. It's going to take you at least 15 hours, give or take, because I'm going around and doing all the achievements first. You could rush it, and I think you could finish the game in under 6 hours if you just wanted to rush it. But I'm also a level 230-something, so yeah. And that's not cheating, if you can believe that. I just have everything maxed the hell out.
I am fairly sure we had a discussion of how you cheated your XP or money or something way back when the game first came out, so I think you're lying.
But say, oh yeah, that is on that file, not on my very first one, yeah. Oh yeah, this is on Mr. Fuckface, so yes.
you named him Mr. Fuckface.
My characters are Mr. Fuckface, Miss Boobies, and Mr. Sexy.
Please tell me that the robot butler actually said all of those
things. That's why I called him that.
Nice.
I love it. He's like, Mr. Fuckface, please come with me. It's awesome. Right now I'm doing, I'm clearing out like this weird playground place where it's like full of like robots and shit. So it's a lot of fun. Although, haven't had a chance to try any of the new weapons. I'm mixing Nuka Colas right now, so that's a little bit more fun than I thought it would be. And I'm playing around with the new companion, Gage, who's actually a pretty big badass. I'm really enjoying him right now. Also, I'm trying to think what else I've been playing. I just got Resident Evil 4, the HD collection, so I'll be playing that in the next few days. And that's pretty much about it, other than maybe some COD and some Until Dawn on the PlayStation 4. That's pretty much about it.
I've been very mobile lately, and I don't know why. I've been playing Pokemon Go, like everybody, but not very much lately. It's really tapered down. I've been really into Final Fantasy Brave Exvius and Final Fantasy Mobius, which are both just phone apps. A lot of fun. Check them out. And I've also been playing Monster Hunter Generations. Other than that, I haven't really been doing a lot. I just picked up Deus Ex Mankind Divided. And from the, I think, hour, maybe 2 hours I've played of it, it seems really freaking good. So highly recommend that if anybody likes the Deus Ex line. What about you, Cameron? What have you been playing?
I'm about a week off of attending the X16 event. And I haven't really played a whole lot of video games up until then because I've had a bunch of other shit to do with school coming around the corner. But, yeah, got a chance to play Gears of War 4, got a chance to play ReCore, Dead Rising 4, and I got a chance to play the campaign demo of the new Final Fantasy game that's coming out soon. So,
yeah.
So here's a question for you then, Cameron.
Yeah, very interesting gaming life as of late.
in 140 characters or less, describe to me ReCore.
ReCore, it's like an arcade shooter, and it's color coordinated. So like you progress through certain areas. It's also there's a lot of puzzles as well. Enemies have certain colors like donned on them some are, and your gun is able to change from a bunch of different colors, and it does damage more so or less so based on if you've matched the color or not. And you have like a companion similar to like Fallout. I think like there's this guy who can like magnetize to certain things. That allow you to get to different points on the map. And then there's like a dog companion who essentially just helps you fight your enemies and all that sort of stuff. Pretty cool. I liked it.
So do you think it'll be worth kind of picking up at like full price, or do you think it's waiting for the price to drop?
If I'm being honest with you, I didn't think it was like it was worthy of having like a AAA price tag on it. If I'm not sure what the price tag is, but I'm guessing since you're saying it's like full price that it would be around like $60-$70. I thought it was an indie game from like ID at Xbox the whole time I was playing it.
Really?
Yes. Which I don't know, like I guess that's kind of bad for them, but that's kind of just the vibe that it gave off to me.
Now, question, did at the X16 event, because me and Jamie, this is the first year we haven't attended in like 5.
You weren't gonna go and I still was, and my car friggin' had a wheel bearing blow in it, so like I had it fixed like the day after.
Well, that's because your car is so like the Millennium Falcon. It's held together by bubblegum and luck.
Yes, but it is the best thing ever, just like the Millennium Falcon. Okay. It's gonna take down the Death Star and everything on the way.
Did you see Cuphead there again?
I did see Cuphead again.
When is that coming out?
That I don't even know. We didn't even talk to the dev because it had been so many times that we've talked to them previously. And, like, the huge lead-up to the game is just kind of getting a little bit annoying now. So, like, we kind of made the conscious choice to back away from speaking to the developers.
Well, it's kind of like, okay, it looks a certain way, but the game mechanics look fairly simple. I mean, frankly, I really want to say, look, motherfucker, what's the holdup?
Yeah, like, I gotta say, it looks fantastic. Like, it's got, like, the bopping sort of rhythm of, like, classic Steamboat Willie, Mickey Mouse cartoons and all that sort of stuff. Like, the combat is pretty cool. It looks actually very difficult. I saw
the problem is that it has had that for a couple years.
Like, three. Like, I think we've seen it for at least 2-3.
The first time that we saw it, we were like, wow, this is amazing. All this other, like, these mechanics, the difficulty, everything is just spot on for a game that I would love to pick up. And it looked like it was an indie game, so it was going to be relatively lower priced. And that was years ago, where, like, the build that we first saw. We were like, oh, okay, this is coming out in a couple months. And it's still not out. Like,
yeah.
Honestly, if it's not out by this time next year, it's a lot of who gives a shit.
Yeah.
Which is kind of unfortunate.
Which is sad, because it looks so cool.
Exactly. Now, we're going to talk about a game that also had a lot of hype behind it. We first saw this premiered, I want to say, at the Spike TV Video Game Awards a couple years ago. And I think we also saw this at E3 extensively. We're talking about Hello Games, the PlayStation 4 exclusive NPC, No Man's Sky, or No Man's Lie, depending on how you want to look at this. Or One Man's Lie, rather. Where do we even begin to start with this? Now, me and Ryan reviewed this game earlier last week and kind of gave this game a try before you buy. It's worth playing, but maybe not in its current state. So if you want to go back and check out that review, just go back and check out the webpage and you can check out that. Otherwise, go take a look at Reddit. You will see many, many angry Redditors out there giving their opinions on this game. And we also want to give our extended opinions on this, but more because something has happened in the last couple of days, last week or so, that I never thought I'd see happen. Now, this is a game that has gamers split right down the middle. Divisive as any title I've seen in quite some time. Some people love it, some people hate it, other people will defend it until their dying breath. But Steam is offering refunds for this game, which is in and of itself not unusual. But typically, Steam only gives you a refund if you've had the game less than 14 days. You played the game less than 2 hours.
It's 2 hours, and it's like they're usually pretty generous on that. I've had the odd cases of people saying like 3 hours they've had, or they've gotten a certain number of achievements, because it's usually like 2 hours or you've gotten an achievement or something along those lines, and then they're just like, no, you can't, you've played the game enough that you spent the money. And this is a really big issue that they're basically, it doesn't matter what the issue is, they're just like, yeah, you can have your money back with this game. That's not a good thing for the gaming industry. It's really not.
It's the fact that there's been people, I've read stories on Reddit, people that have over 20 hours logged in on this on Steam, and the PC install base at one time, this was the best-selling game on Steam. The install base has dropped off from over 200,000. There's something like a 90% drop-off or some insane number like that, so don't quote me on that. But they're also getting refunds from Amazon, which is, you know, they're taking back open software. That's weird. And Sony, if you bought the game digitally on PSN, I've never heard of this before, but they're offering refunds. People are reporting success stories with this. That is strange.
I just don't understand why they're doing it, because, like, okay, even if a game is completely and utterly horrible, most of these people that are having these success stories, like they're 8+ hours, like 20 hours, etc., like you've said, it doesn't matter how bad the game was. If you played it for anything more than 2 hours, you got something out of it. Like,
I got something out of it.
But anytime that I try to explain to somebody, like, when someone says, is this game worth the money? I always divide it by hours played. So MMOs are one of those things that, even though they just completely and utterly annihilate your time and your soul and everything, they are the most money efficient game. You will get hundreds of hours out of an MMO for a measly like $15 a month versus buying, say, a shooter. Say you don't play multiplayer. A shooter is like a 5-hour campaign. And you spend new price games in Canada are $90. That's a pretty, like, that's like 1/3 of a console for a single game now. Mm-hmm. And you're like, if you get 5 hours out of it, you divide that, like, you got 90 divided by 5 rather than hundreds of hours. But if you get 20 hours out of a game, you got your money's worth. That's 100%. You got your money's worth. Even if at some point in that game, you're just like, I hate this fucking game. Something kept you going for 20 hours that you did get some sort of enjoyment, even if you don't want to, like, admit it. So all these cases are fucking bullshit.
I don't know. Like, I heard people going into No Man's Sky, they trudged through it. Like, I got through probably about 10 hours when I was all said and done. I had so many restarts, though, because the game kept, frankly, fucking me. Okay, my first playthrough, I got the perfect play, literally. The name of my planet was called Paradise. It was 20 degrees outside, nothing was hostile, everything was nice, there was tons of life, but there was no plutonium, which means I'm not getting off this fucking rock, because you need that shit for your boosters, which is annoying as all dog shit. Second time. Radioactive Apocalypse Land.
So, nice. Very, very catchy name.
It was basically, here's Fallout, enjoy it, asshole. The next time, I got, here's a rock, there's no life on it, fuck you. And then I got Enema City, which basically, I had everything, I had every component but radioactive isotopes. So, once again, can't power my weapons now. And that's a game where it's not hard to get yourself screwed over. And even trying to get off the planet should take you a good 2 or 3 hours. Even getting off the planet, it wasn't so much a, like, oh, wow, this is the wonders of space travel. This was, thank Christ I'm off of that rock. Because it just, it wasn't relaxing. And that's something this game has been sold on that it's so relaxing. It's the joys of exploration. My friend Ryan and another guy were having a discussion on Facebook about it. And it was like, okay. He's like, well, you don't enjoy exploration. This is like Star Trek. I'm like, yeah. Do you remember that episode of Star Trek where Riker and Picard beam down to the planet, mined dilithium for 45 minutes just so they could get to the next planet? Yeah, that was an awesome episode of Star Trek. And that's basically what No Man's Sky turned out to be. It was promised to be this epic space exploration simulator, and that's what I went in expecting. See, I wanted more Star Trek, a little less Minecraft. Somebody just described this to me as Minecraft without building stuff, because you're basically resource gathering and trying to survive in it.
So it's like shitty Minecraft then.
Yeah, it's like it's like shitty Minecraft, but you can't build anything. All the ships are virtually the same. There was a promised multiplayer component, and Sean Murray, the head of Hello Games, said, can you run into your friends? He's like, yeah, but it's not likely to happen. Within the game's first release day, people like, oh my God, I found somebody. I'm going to fly towards them.
As much as people think that's all propaganda, and he sent out a tweet being like, holy crap, somebody actually found someone else. The math behind that is like a 0.00014 or even more zeros in there percent chance to ever find another player.
But then it kept happening.
And it happened. But the problem is he fucked up. He told everybody that it's like you're able to see other people. I know from game development that the amount of extra resources you need to put into a game to have all of the servers to be able to, you know, just able to run into another player is not worth the money whenever the chance is like 0.6014%.
Aren't there like 14 quintillion planets?
I think they said 18 or some bullshit. It's
so even higher. That's ridiculous. Like, there's
and the thing is, run into anybody. The main issue with this game, when I first heard about it, I was told it was an indie game. It was a small development team of like 15 people or under, which it is, but it got so overhyped and grew so big and became, you know, a title at $90 that like, if this was $30, people would be praising it for its RNG system. They'd be like, holy crap, how did you manage to make 18 quintillion planets, random generated creatures that, you know, some of them are glitchy. People do have big issues with that. But I mean, the amount of variations that they have and it's all just RNG, that's what's amazing about this game. They should have kept with that and not overhyped everything saying, oh yeah, we're going to have multiplayer, we're going to have like building shit and all that. Like, they just kept promising shit.
Now, you see, the thing about No Man's Sky is I like what Sean Murray promised. And I'd be okay to kind of borrow the Minecraft thing for a sec. When Notch built Minecraft, it was a small game that just kept getting bigger and bigger with each update. If No Man's Sky had been $15 or $20 and launched like it is now, with the promises of more free updates coming, maybe a paid update when it goes into, I don't know, beta whatever, or something, right? You know what I'm saying.
Even $40, just the thing is,
I wouldn't pay $40 for this. No way.
A lot of people would, though, if he straight up like didn't like the problem that most people are having is that they feel they've been lied to, because every time somebody discovers something that was supposed to be in the game, it's not. And then they send out tweets and stuff to him and he responds with things that are just really vague.
Well, like, that's another thing, too. His media tour, I think, has done more damage to this game than figuring it out. Because he went on Stephen Colbert and pimped it out. He's been on Conan O'Brien, I think. Angry Joe did a huge review of this game about a week ago. Jim Sterling is quoting it. It's being quoted on Reddit. Like it's amazing how much Sean Murray dug himself this hole. Now, I'm sure he's a nice guy. but there should have been someone behind him the whole time saying, look, Sean, shut up.
There's a usual rule with game development companies that you don't have your lead designer be the peacock for the company. You have a PR rep that doesn't know as much about the game, and they have written guidelines of what they're allowed to say. Because if you're the lead designer and you get in front of a fucking mic, you're going to say the things that you wish were in the game or hope to have in the game, and then when they're not there, you're fucking shooting yourself in the foot.
Basically, like, there was that one guy from Microsoft Lionhead Studios, Peter Molyneux, right? I think that's his name?
Yeah.
The guy behind Fable. This guy promised us virtual reality back in 2008, virtually, for like Fable.
This guy is the new him.
Yeah, like, and that's sad because this guy's career is so young. And with this game, I'm sorry, I think it's catastrophically blown up in his face. I wonder where Hello Games is going to be a year from now.
And like I said, if the backlash, like if this didn't blow up so badly, like if it was a $40 game, $20 game, whatever, and he did it right, he didn't fuck up the marketing and promise people things or have the, like when the hype got so big and he just kept nodding his head like, oh yeah, 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 that's all going to happen. He should have fucking stamped that down and be like, whoa, come on, guys. Our game's good, but it's not that good kind of thing.
See, maybe I wonder if this would have been a better launch title for PlayStation VR, because then it would have had a few more months to cook and maybe get a few more things going. Because a game like this, I think, really sells towards VR. Playing this on the PlayStation 4, as I did with a little bit of PC time, it was point, click, shoot. There was never any momentum to it. With exploration, with VR, at least if I'm turning my head using my PlayStation Move controller as my laser gun, I'm going to feel at least a little something towards it.
Yeah, because the control scheme is like pretty pedestrian enough for it to really coalesce with VR anyways. Problem with like big ticket horror games, like say Outlast or anything like that.
Yeah.
The VR wouldn't be able to like properly mingle with the controls, which are very very difficult. You know what I mean? Like it would be very difficult to do those things together.
Mm-hmm. There just wasn't enough there, and
it still runs the issue, even if it was VR. From everything that I've heard and read about this game, like, there's aspects of it that are good, and, like, as I was saying, the technological standpoint of the RNG system, that could have, like, give him a couple more years and some new ideas. He could probably make some really great games if this PR nightmare doesn't fuck him. But when it comes down to it, the core gameplay, all it's got is exploration, and there's zero tension. So even if you threw VR in there, VR is really great at creating tension when there's not much there. So like horror games, they're amazing in VR because like the slightest little crack or noise, you're just like, oh my God, like what's about to appear behind me? I got to move my head around, all that. This game doesn't have that. It doesn't have a goal and it doesn't have anything resisting you on that goal, except for, oh no, I spawned on a planet that doesn't have plutonium. I can't go anywhere. That's not really a good thing.
Yeah, that's not a feature. That's something that screws you over.
That's a fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, one of the things that I think this game could learn is if you're going to have an exploration game, what is your end game? And spoilers, you know what? I don't even care. When you get to the end of the game, you get to the center of the universe, the center of the galaxy, and then you just go to another galaxy. That's it. The camera just zooms out and you go someplace else. There's people on YouTube that have done this 13, 14 times. There's nothing there. It's like, literally, this game just pulled our princess is in another castle on you.
But see, again, it's coming down to the fact that this is a small development team and their feature that they had going for them was the RNG and the random creation of the entire multiverse, basically. So the fact that it didn't really have an endgame thing, it's just about exploration, really doesn't surprise me. but isn't a premise for gameplay though.
Yeah, that's the thing.
This isn't much of a game. Like, this is a cool art project. It's a cool simulator, but as a video game, this game sucks.
Yeah, like, at least there's a prospect of getting the princess at some point.
Yeah, here. It's like, hey, go somewhere else. Go fuck yourself.
That's what I've done for probably like 10 hours now. Thanks.
Well,
here's a good like thought behind this is, as you brought up, like with Star Trek and other you know, space kind of movie shows, games, etc. Yeah, they're about exploration. Like, okay, there's a ship and it's out and it's exploring the universe. But there's a lot of things that happen on the way that make an actual storyline. It's, yeah, there's no actual goal. It's we're exploring the universe. But they still have things within that universe to cause tension and conflict.
Yeah,
in this, they're promised epic space battles, and it's literally just raiders show up every now and then and shoot at you.
And occasionally you'll find bits of, like, alien languages. You can learn their very own, like, Rosetta Stone sort of thing. 9 times out of 10, you're learning the same word fucking 3 or 4 times in a row. The aliens are not that interesting. I mean,
every alien you come across looks and does the same. Like, yeah, they're random generated of what they kind of look like, but they're still all humanoid. So they really don't look that much different. And they all do the exact same kind of like dumb animation. And they're just like, hey, fuck you. What's up?
Well, you know what? I mean, one thing that this game could be summed up as, you just said, it's basically wandering around looking for resources. It's No Man's Sky, subtitle, looking for a gas station. Because that's all you're really doing, is just looking for stuff for your ship. And that's another thing, too. Whoever designed this item management system needs to be taken out into the street and hit with a friggin' wire coat hanger. Because, my God, I thought Destiny had a shitty item management system. Holy shit! Holy shit, this pisses me off! Like, if you
wanted... Wait, that's the conflict. They made it the conflict is the item management.
Well, it's so dumb, because... Or, okay, here is the end game for No Man's Sky. Get more pockets for your spacesuit.
And your ship.
Get
a bigger ship, get more, like...
Get duffel bags, get luggage.
Get more inventory. Like, that's...
No Man's Sky, the search for luggage. Like, I don't know, it makes me so mad, because I wanted to love this game. I wanted this to be a system seller. I really did. I bought into the... I mean, hell, Jamie, you remember the E3 or the Spike this was announced. I remember you and I were talking, thinking, man, this could be it, dude. This could be Mass Effect, but real-ish. This could be real exploration.
There's so many things that could have happened with this game, and the reason I didn't buy it, and, like, I had a friend trying to get me to buy it for the last 4 months. He's like, you gotta pre-order this, we gotta play it, it's gonna be friggin' amazing. And the entire time I said, I think I will enjoy it for about a week while I'm exploring, but once I've explored and have run into all of the different subroutines of the RNG, I'm going to be bored, because they have not said anything about the end game of what to do in the game.
Yeah, exploration is only cool if it's for a purpose.
Yeah.
You can't just aimlessly explore for hours and hours and hours on end without, like, wanting to shoot yourself in the face.
Yeah, and like I said, are people finding this relaxing?
Well, I mean, it is kind of a simulator, so anyone that enjoys the simulator game types, they probably are enjoying this. So, like, farming simulators, all the train simulator, stuff. Goat simulator is a little bit different. That's literally trying to do the most ridiculous, stupid shit. But, like, if you enjoy the idea of exploring and looking through all this stuff, I mean, from everything that I've seen, and I have watched a lot on this game, because I was tiptoeing around whether or not I wanted to buy it and actually try it myself. So I was like, I need to just watch tons of gameplay. And from everything that I've seen, you've actually said opposite of what I've seen most. Most people enjoy the first 3 hours trying to get their ship repaired because they have a purpose. So the game gets them kind of like, okay, I got to do this and I got to find resources. I get to fix my ship. And as soon as they launch, then they're like, oh, okay, now I'm going to planets and just refueling, basically. That's where it tapers off for most people. But you and some subgroup that I've seen, they started to enjoy it once they actually left the planet. They're like, okay, I get to do stuff now. I get to go places, but it's still just doing the same shit over and over.
I don't know. Once I got attacked by dick monsters, I think I had enough.
Did you hear that story about that dude that just stayed on the one planet?
Yeah, and he just kept exploring it.
Yeah, like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, like, you see, it's nice to see some people getting genuine enjoyment out of it and just kind of getting something kind of cool. But I don't know.
Well, this is the biggest sandbox that we've ever truly been given. And kind of like that guy, you can go on a planet and you could explore that planet for fucking probably a couple days straight. They're giant fucking planets. They have tons of stuff like randomly generated all over them, which is really cool about it. But when you're dealing in a giant system of RNG, there's only so many things that you can do. They couldn't very well, they could have actually, if they made it so that like every third or fourth planet that you visit, it automatically gains X variable. So it gets a raider outpost that you like, they want to fight you, or it gives you an incentive to go in and raid, like to fight them and take whatever they have. Maybe they have a fucking super awesome ship, or something is detected within your hub. The problem with that is that every time someone discovers the fourth planet, that planet all over this entire universe now has that stuff, right? So they put themselves against a wall for doing a system that would be cool like that. If it was just a standalone game that they didn't actually have everybody was linked to and uploaded all their findings and shit, you could do that. Every certain number of planets that you visit now has this event happen.
Yeah, it's just, so aside from its scope, like, is there anything that you find even remotely redeeming about this game?
I like the fact that it tries to bring how weird and varied space can actually be. Like, there are worlds that are literally these radioactive wastelands, or there are these worlds that are cold, but there's life on them. I like the idea that it's trying to widen the scope of what we find acceptable to where we may find life, to actually look at the idea of what an exoplanet is. I guess the idea, what I like, is it's making science more open to the masses. I like the idea of exoplanets and exploring literally strange new worlds, because all we know are the moon, Mars, and a few other small moons in our solar system. No Man's Sky could be a peek into our future, the far future, when we can send people, not just probes, to other worlds. So that's what I find redeeming about this. It's opening minds, possibly.
I like that it's probably one of the first games that have the resource management of being like, okay, every time I take off, I have to use a certain amount of fuel and all that. I need to go get more of that. Do I think they did it right? No. Like, it's cool that, hey, my oxygen and stuff is all going down. I need to recover that by gathering certain resources. It's cool that they've done that. They didn't do it in a way that is engaging and fun, though. Nothing causes tension. It's like, oh, I'm running out of air. Okay, I'm going to blast this plant or whatever, I've made more air.
So do you think, like, it's not a very like accurate portrayal of what it could potentially be like to be like a nomad amongst the universe?
I don't know if there's really the ability to have a disintegrator gun that can shoot any type of resource and break it down to its base like molecules to be used in crafting.
No, of course not. But I'm just saying, like, as a whole.
I don't know. Like, it didn't feel lonely enough, I guess. Which is weird because it's supposed to feel lonely. there's just a lot of stuff. Like, there was a lot of aliens that I wasn't expecting, because, like, you're supposed to be the first person ever to find these planets, and all the planets are already named. It's just you're uploading your own name. So it's like, I don't know if you're human or not, but it's like, you're the first human to find it, and you're renaming it for the human race, which is kind of egotistical.
Like, really cool if you could be like a planetary conquistador. Where you, like, go to these different planets and you're able to actually, like, conquer them.
I'm naming my first world Boderland.
That would also require these worlds to have, like, any of the worlds to actually have, like, alien cities and shit on them. Like, that's one thing that I've seen a lot of people complain about, too, is at first people are like, oh, what the fuck? There's all these aliens and stuff, so we're not the first ones to discover it. It's not an undiscovered planet. The planet's already named. You're just renaming it, basically.
But that's okay, because your discoveries get wiped after 2 weeks anyway.
I've heard that's not true. That was some sort of glitch or something.
I hope it's a glitch, because that would suck otherwise.
That'd be really dumb.
Yeah, that's like trying to complete like a PS1 game without a memory card.
Oh, I've done that in Final Fantasy VII. That was brutal.
Because that means somewhere out there, someone will never discover my world of butthole.
Borderland or whatever.
Somewhere. Wait. If anybody ever finds the wonderful world of butthole, please let me know.
So yeah, like, you've got all these different aliens, like, you've got space stations and stuff that just keep having aliens coming in and out, and there's all these different races, but you never ever find any planets that are like Earth, fully colonized. Like, it's, that's not in the RNG budget. That's something that they could have been like, okay, you discovered number whatever planets. Here, it's automatically a citadel for one of the races you found.
Yeah,
if it was a single player thing that wasn't attached to a server so that people could name things and be cool, they could have done shit like that. And it would have been amazing. Man, there's so many things to rag on about this game. I feel bad.
It'd be cool also if you could, like, cultivate life. That would be really interesting. Like, you go to, like, essentially a barren wasteland, and you're able to, like...
Genesis Project that shit sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've got these, like, things that they're talking about adding to the game, even though, like, everybody's so pissed off with the game. I don't know if it's going to last, or if only the people that are upset are being vocal, like... Maybe all the people that really enjoy simulators are actually just loving this game and they're just not voicing their opinion, right? They're planning on adding, like, base building and stuff like that, so I guess you can settle down and build on a planet if you want. Which brings in the question again, if you do that and save it and somebody else stumbles on your world, is it actually going to be there or not? And that whole thing, too, the fiasco of people flipping the fuck out that they couldn't even see each other. Which, he hinted that it was going to be an Easter egg when someone finally saw another person, that it was a huge Easter egg to be able to see what you guys look like, because you can't see yourself in any way, shape, or form. And then you couldn't see the other person.
Just frustrated.
So much anger.
So,
well, like, he shot himself in the foot. He needed to keep his mouth closed.
Yeah, there was a lot of hope going into this game. But I do think there are some important lessons to learn from this. Obviously, don't overpromise when you do a project like this. But I also think retailers need to be kind of very wary about stuff like this too, because one of the points that I wanted to bring up earlier in this, I just kind of got away from this, is imagine had this happened during Mass Effect 3, for example, if people were that pissed off, they demanded refunds and got them. Or how many other AAA titles have disappointed you? To the point, like, imagine, for example, Destiny, Gears of War Judgment. Imagine if that had happened. You'd beaten the game. I didn't like it. I want my $60 back.
I'd have $60 back, but I, you know, wouldn't actually be happy with that. Only because of my development background. Because I know that would hurt the company to being able to make a better game next.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Having this happen this is going to hurt Hello Games for a long time.
Oh, it's a permanent scar. It's either going to break up the company entirely if all of these actually go through. If it starts just being a big snowball where a couple people get their money back and then everybody starts getting their money back, that's going to come back out of Hello Games and they're going to get fucked. They're just going to be done. It'll be pinned on their director saying, like, this is your fault, and then he'll never have a career in gaming again, even though he did some, like, there is things about this game that are really good. The RNG factor, that's the first time it's ever been done in a game to this extent. That's actually something that needs to be pulled from this and used in other games, just done better. Like, they had a team of, like, 15 people or under or something, and they managed, like, this game is pretty good when you think about 15 people working
on it. It's a technological achievement within that respect, like with that many people. That doesn't detract from the fact that it's still like an awful game.
Yeah, but like I said, this whole thing, if everybody gets a refund, that company's dead. All of the people that worked in its reputation will be pretty shot, mostly the director of it. But the more that this goes through and gets refunds, the more it can hurt the gaming community as a whole. Because as Mike was saying, if all of Gears of War Judgment people that hated it returned it and actually managed to get their money back and they did that big of a dent to Epic Games, well, Epic Games has Unreal Engine. So, yeah, maybe they have a lot of money where that it wouldn't have hurt them. Or maybe it would have crippled them and they would have been like, we don't have the money to pay people for Gears of War 4.
Or Gears of War 4
doesn't exist.
Think about this. This past year, how many people, Jamie, you included, were pissed off when Halo 5 Guardians came out? That's a game you could beat in 4 or 5 hours.
What are you talking about? I loved Halo 5.
You thought the ending was shit, too. Oh, sorry. Well, no, wait. You loved 5, but didn't you hate the ending, too?
I thought it was okay. It was Halo 4 that I fucking hated it.
Cortana's a bad guy, still fucking stupid. Anyway.
It wasn't great, but
it was fucking stupid.
I can see where they're going with it. The reason that...
You're a Cortana apologist.
Their multiplayer gameplay really sold me on that one, so like, okay, I forgive it for certain things.
Okay.
However, I think we need to draw a line between returning a game and receiving a refund for like an overall experience that was awful, and returning a game for like a single parcel of it that you thought could have been done better.
Okay, fair enough. I'm trying to think of other games that would fall under this. I'd say Destiny, because that had a lot of stuff that was promised that wasn't delivered, but it got much better after The Taken King.
Yes.
I see this game just like Destiny, because I looked at Destiny the exact same way, where I was like, I really like the idea of it. I like everything that's kind of in it, but here's a couple questions that are really making me wonder if I want to buy it. And then whenever it came out, I was like, nope, I was right. I'm not buying it. And it's the same thing with No Man's Sky, where it has potential to get way better if they add in all of those fucking things. But there's talk about them forcing it as paid DLC now, and it's
that's a mistake.
Yeah, no, thanks, but no thanks. Although, at least if they offered you a season's pass, make it $20. I'd be okay if the season's pass was $20.
And you mean a like fucking 8-season pass for $20?
If they promised me a season's pass for $20 with bi-monthly DLC that added in significant features, I'd be okay. If the game was polished a little more at launch, I'd be okay with it. But then again, even Seasons Passes that's another topic for a different day, really. Because you look at how much that stuff was, well, how close is this to being done? Why don't we just wait? Sort of thing. And then day one DLC, which we've done to death on this show. But it does raise some very interesting questions as to where things are going to go next. So,
speaking of the having more quality in a game by pushing it back, or, you know, having the day one DLC / the big day one patch, I don't think we've had an episode since this was announced. Final Fantasy XV was pushed back by 2 months, but the director actually released a YouTube video and basically explained they want the best possible product for all of their customers, and he hated the idea of there being a day one patch because they already had a huge day one patch ready. because the game was in gold, ready to go to the master version, which is on the CD. And he basically said, not everyone has access to the internet to download that big of a patch. So we're pushing it back. We're adding even more stuff and we're getting it all on the disc. Huge respect to that man, because fuck all of these other companies that don't have the balls to push back their game for quality.
I think a quick round of applause is in order.
Yay!
Fuck yeah! I'm really bad at Japanese names, so I'm not even going to try to say who it was. But go look it up. Look up the Final Fantasy XV's YouTube page. You have to turn on closed captioning because he's speaking in Japanese, unless you know Japanese. But it's a very heartfelt, like, apology that he's pushing it back, but he explains everything as to why, and he's got balls, and I don't think anybody's is upset with him for doing that because of the way he explained it, which every other company, if a company pushes back a game, they're usually just like, oh yeah, we're pushing it back. And they don't explain why. All you gotta do is just come out and be like, hey, No Man's Sky kind of sucks right now. We didn't reach our goal. We're going to add in base building and this and that. But we need another 2 months. Everyone would be like, all right, man, go ahead. Do that. They're not okay, you're going to have the odd person that's going to give you a death threat because people are fucking insane. But
that's just the way things go.
Yeah. The general populace, though, will not hate you for it, and you won't have a fucking disaster like we have right now with this game.
Yeah, like I said, I'm hoping they can turn things around. We'll see. I guess time's going to be the tell. I'd kind of like us to keep an eye on this, and let's revisit Hello Games again in probably about 6 months, see what they're working on, see where No Man's Sky is 6 months from now. So what's 6 months from today, Jamie?
6 months from today? Oh, let's ask the guy that fucking doesn't remember months half the time. Okay, August, September, October, November, December, January?
January's not 6 months from now.
Did I count too many times? I don't fucking know.
Say, Jamie, this is the eighth month. Christmas is on the fourth month. So in March. We'll check back in March.
Fuck.
Math is not your strong suit. Anyway, guys.
Actually, math is my major. I'm just really bad with time and dates.
Good night, everybody. We're going to go now for the prototype.
We're also going to schedule Jamie a math tutor.
Oh, Jesus Christ. There's another.
Can she be, like, blonde and hot? And
perhaps.
Maybe.
Anyway, we'll be back, guys, in probably about a week or so's time. Where we're actually going to talk about mental illness in gaming, talking about depression, addiction, both the good and bad that comes from playing video games, because it's not just all murder simulators. There's actually some valuable things that you can learn from video games, and it may save your life or it may save the life of a loved one, maybe even your grandpa.
We can basically call the episode Intervention for Jamie.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I'll have to get the like intervention theme for that episode. So. Anyway, and I'll try and get that stupid kumbaya music from the end 6 months later. Anyway,
Jamie fell back into a depression and fucking died from too much gaming.
All he does is masturbate and play Pokemon Go. Jamie was never heard from again. Next week on The Prototype. Anyway, so for The Prototype, we have been... I'm Mike the Birdman Todd! Not a fucking German!
I'm Jamie Nichols Johnston. Let's go! Boom, 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 boom